Hi, Hester here, back to your favourite gardening show, Dig It! Today we're talking fruit. On today's episode, we looked at a problematic gooseberry bush and whether a backyard vineyard is really an option. Mini orchards, blueberry bush pruning and alternatives to prickly blackberries and more. If you want to grow fruit, stay tuned for a guide at what will grow well in your space. On with the show.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates. Shilliger, let your inspiration grow.
Hester joins me in the studio. We are talking about fruit.
Yay!
Getting fruity for today's show. Excited about it. We've got a lovely prize to give away as well, courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre. Hester, what have we got to give away?
It's a Calamondin orange. They are gorgeous. I saw them in store earlier this week and I want one too.
You want a, what is it, a Calamondin?
A Calamondin. The little ones.
They're like a little... Does this mean... Okay, so just let's talk about the prize very briefly. Is that something we can keep in a pot?
Yes, absolutely.
That's good.
Yeah. I wouldn't plant it in the ground because you've got to bring it in the winter.
Nice to know that you can keep it in a balcony, as well as if you've got a big garden space. That's what we've got to give away today. If you wanted that, it would cost 125 francs. It's our lovely prize that we are giving away today. All you need to do to get into the draw is send in the name of any fruit whatsoever. We will take it today. 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS or email studio@worldradio.ch. Send in the name of any fruit to get into that draw for the Calamondin orange tree from Shilliger Garden Centre. Hester, what is your favourite fruit to grow at home?
I'd say in the ground, I think raspberries are probably the easiest and give the most back for the least effort. In a pot, I'd be really tempted to grow like a miniature fruit tree, a top fruit tree, like a miniature apple or a miniature peach or something like that, I think. Because you don't need kilos and kilos of things. You only need four or five and you think, oh, how lovely, I grew this, and then eat it. That's really much it.
So stop trying to get orchards in the back garden. If you don't mind, I'd love to jump in with a question that we've got from Jane about strawberries and gooseberries. Are we ready?
Okay.
I'll be answering and throwing lots of questions at you throughout the morning. So Jane has said, although the strawberries seem to have enjoyed the rain, pick attached, it doesn't seem to be the same for our gooseberry plant, also pick attached, that I bought a few years ago. I'm wondering if in Switzerland they're a grafted variety, in which case I think I probably let a sucker grow. It has small yellow flowers, thinking that it was a new shoot. Result, a very small plant and almost no gooseberries. What do I do now?
Well, it's very unusual to have grafted gooseberries, mostly because they're so easy to kind of grow from cutting. So on the whole, they're not grafted. So I don't think it's that you've mispruned it or anything like that. I would not worry about it. There's a couple of reasons. It might be that it's hungry, so they're actually quite heavy feeders, so I would give it some fertilizer, a good balanced fertilizer, a liquid version because it's in a pot, and maybe scrape off a little bit of the soil off the top and add a bit of additional soil, might make life a bit easier. And I would also say, once it starts getting its gooseberries, if it's, the problem is that they're very tiny, I would thin them out like you would with any other top fruit, like with apples. So you take off at least one in three of the little tiny gooseberryettes in order to let the other ones get bigger. I would also say water it. When the fruit is starting to swell, it's a really critical time. And honestly, if it's not pulling its weight, put it in the compost and get a better one.
Ouch, that is brutal, Hester. Stay tuned. We've got more advice coming throughout the morning. It's Dig It.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
I've got a question here. This one is from Fiona, who says, I remember that Hester suggested taking away a pear tree. Well, we did. Hence, fruit related, by the way, Hester. Here we go. Any suggestions of what to put in its place? It's near a hedge and the grandkids' sand pit, so nothing big or prickly. So what would you recommend? Also, directly in view of the living room window. So something interesting would be nice. Got any ideas? Says Fiona.
Yeah, so I'd say for something that's in direct view, I would go for something that looks nice all year round. And maybe sacred bamboo. Now, don't panic. It's not actually really bamboo.
Is it actually sacred?
Could be. Probably. It's called Nandina Domestica, and there's lots of different varieties of it. And I go for a sort of a mid-sized one, because if it's by the hedge, you don't really want it competing with the size of the hedge. Go for one that's, you know, a metre and a half or something like that. Mm. It's got really pretty leaves. It has very pretty flowers in springtime, and then lovely red berries throughout most of the winter. And it keeps its leaves more or less year-round. And the leaves change colour as well. So it's a really very pretty, very easy-going shrub. And if you don't fancy a shrub, how about some grasses? There's lots of really pretty ones. Miscanthus is very nice. Pennisetums are very nice. And they don't have sharp edges, unlike Cortaderia, unlike pampas grass, which are not good next to sandpits.
Perfect for, yeah, when the kids are, grandkids are playing really close by. Okay, lovely. Thanks very much for those suggestions. Got another what shall I put here question for you, Hester. We've got Janila, who is talking about her pergola. She says, I want to put a pergola in my garden for shade. Is there anything I should know before I do it, and what plants can I grow on it? So, okay, first of all, I've got questions all about planning permission when it comes to pergolas.
So it partly depends where you live, and it partly depends how big it's going to be. But I would go and have a very gentle chat with my commune or Gemeinde first, before you go and buy it and book it. It might be that they require details of exactly how big it is, exactly how high it's going to go up in the air. Normally, because it's not covered, you generally don't. But it's really a good idea to chat, to check. And generally, the people who manage planning and communes are very nice and very helpful, and will be able to say, here's the standard form that you need, or no, you're absolutely fine, you don't need one.
Fingers crossed on that. My next question, as we're talking about fruit today, is can Janila grow grapes on her pergola?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And actually, there's lots of different grape varieties you can grow.
How easy
I wouldn't
are they?
Bother aiming for anything to make wine out of, because you will never make enough. So I would go for a good, what they call table grapes, a good eating variety, of which there are loads and loads and loads and loads. And in this region and in this kind of climate, I would go for something that's quite late ripening, because we often have lovely September rather than something you need to ripen in kind of July time, because you might not get enough sunshine.
Ooh, top tip. Okay, so something that will ripen later on.
Yeah.
If you're aiming though to cover something like a pergola and you want to make it look interesting, mm-hmm. is a grape variety a good idea in terms of it being quite quick growing?
They're fairly fast growing, but you know, you can always get a big plant for almost anything. There's a particular specialist called Forster in Switzerland who have loads of enormous climbing plants, 4-6 meters tall, and they come on a stick, kind of coiled up like a cable, ready to go. So you can
just
have
unwind them and go.
You just unwind it and stick it in and get your Bob's Jungle. The other thing you could think about, if you really want to grow fruit, think about something that goes up like melons. You just
Sorry,
need
what?
A mesh. So
can we grow melons in this region?
Yeah, absolutely.
Never thought of that.
Yeah, they do really well, actually. So anything that climbs, or peas or anything like that, as long as they've got a bit of mesh to climb up rather than kind of posts, then you can grow kind of anything.
That's very exciting. Okay, keep your fruits coming in, by the way. If you would like to go into the draw for the Calamondin orange tree, courtesy of Schilliger Garden Centre, it's 125 francs. They've been very generous with the prize this month, so thank you very much to them. We've got that to give away. You just need to name any fruit. Send it in on the text or the email. I love how creative you're getting and telling me why you have chosen to pick this fruit. It is very interesting. I'll go through some of your answers coming up in a moment. I also do want to say, as we're approaching the long weekend, Schilliger Garden Centre are open all of the days. They are open on Sundays until early June, and they will be open on the Pentecost Monday, the 24th of May, in Gland and Matrin. So worth noting. Thank you very much. Keep those fruits coming in. Studio at worldradio.ch. David has written in with a few little questions, actually, about jasmine and ivy takeover and feedback from a previous question. I'm going to launch straight into this, Hester. David says, last year we bought some jasmine plants so we can hide behind them on our terrace. Of the three that we bought, there's one that's looking okay, but two are looking rather thin. It might have got a bit of frostbite from last month. Is there anything that we can do to help fill it out?
Yes, well, I wouldn't panic about it. It probably did get a bit of frostbite last month, but they've remarkably hardy and they will bounce back. So I would pick off any of the dead leaves. I would feed it, because the poor thing's a little bit shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And I would keep an eye on the watering for this summer. But otherwise, they'll be absolutely fine. They're very robust. Don't worry.
Okay, great top tip. He has also said, we did give them some fertiliser that the chap in Shilliger recommended. I'll throw in as well that Shilliger open all this weekend, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. So you can go and visit them if you need any more, David. Also, he says, secondly, we have a bush in the garden. It seems to be getting taken over by ivy. Is it a goner in the long run?
No, not at all. Really, just pull out the ivy. So get right in there. Get a pair of gloves because it might be a bit spiky at the bottom. Not the ivy because that's not spiky. Get a pair of gloves. Start pulling the stuff out and keep an eye on it. It will be absolutely fine.
Not a goner. Don't give up on it yet. And also, David just has some feedback. Some time ago, I wrote in and asked what to do with this plant that got some horrid white spots on it. We cleaned it off, as Hester suggested, and lo and behold, it looks much healthier. Thank you both.
Excellent.
Just a little bit of feedback for
excellent,
you. Hester.
Excellent.
It worked. I've got another question that's come in as well. This one is about how to prune blueberries. There's a picture attached which Hester has seen, but on this particular plant, there's very little fruit apparently this year. Any advice?
So it could partly be to do with fruit set, as in there's not been enough pollinator activity, not enough bee activity because the weather's been so revolting. It could be because they are happier if you have another pollination partner, another blueberry nearby to pollinate it. It could be that you accidentally pruned off the flower buds for this year. Oops. So blueberries are a bit funny in that the fruit buds are formed on last year's wood. So you need to be quite careful when you prune. Traditionally prune in March because you should be able to see the difference between leaf buds, which are little ones, and fruit buds, which are big fat ones, or flower buds, which are big fat ones. But if you're in any doubt, I would just kind of do a bit of renovatory pruning and chop all of your stems back by quite a bit, up a quarter to a half, and then let it grow back again. I would also think about feeding. They're really hungry feeders and they're actually quite fussy, they need quite a lot of sun. So it might be that it's not quite in the right position. And I would also think maybe about repotting it.
It sounds like the blueberry is a fussy fruit.
They can be quite fussy. They're supposed to be super easy, but on the whole, they actually aren't very.
We're asking you to name any fruit to go into the draw for a fabulous calamondin tree that we've got to give away courtesy of Shilliger Garden Centre. I just thought I'd run through some of your responses because you're making me chuckle with all the emojis as well. Crab apple, orange, says Holly. Banana, says Jason, with emojis. Thank you. Kiwi, as a kiwi, it's my favourite fruit, says Ali. Also on the email, we've got one message which made me chuckle, which was just durian. That was the first fruit that you think of. I love that that's the first fruit that you think of. That one came in from David. We've got Sarah who says peach, and always a pleasure to listen to your program. Thanks so much. We've got apple straight off the tree came in from Anne, and Nashi says a pear. So anyway, keep them coming in. 939 on the text. Start your message off with WRS or email studio@worldradio.ch. We'll go into the draw for that calamondin orange tree that we've got to give away from Shilliger Garden Centre.
Dig It, sponsored by Shilliger Garden Centre in Glan and Plan-les-Ouates.
So Hester, talking about fruit, if we know that we would like to put fruit in the garden, we would like to grow some fruit, how do we know what is the right fruit to choose? How do we actually go about this?
It's a good question. So I would say start off with how much space you've got, not just horizontal space, but also vertical space. So you can grow lots of things upwards. So we were talking about grapes earlier on, Janilla's pergola, but you can also have things like espaliers, which are these structured fruit trees which are grown flat against walls or can be grown on wires. So there's lots of other ways that you can think about your space. I would also say not just things in the ground, because you can absolutely grow loads of things in pots. Most soft fruit, things like gooseberries and raspberries and things like that, can be grown in pots. And also there's lots of miniature versions of things like apricots and peaches and apples that can also be grown in pots. Biggish pots, but still in pots.
That's a good tip.
So I would start off with that. And I'd also think about your orientation, like how much sun do you really get? Because some things, like apples, are better if they're grown with at least 4 to 6 hours of sun a day. But some things, well, like gooseberries, for example, actually don't really need very much sun at all. And some of the Scottish varieties of things like tayberries, which are these lovely crosses between blackberries and raspberries, need very little sun. I would plan according to that. And I'd also think about how much time you've got realistically. If you just want to plonk it in and then eat them, don't go for something that needs a lot of spraying. And I would look at something that's resistant. Almost all varieties of every single sort of fruit, there are now like disease-resistant varieties, and I would absolutely look for that. So the other things you might want to think of, do you want something that's a bit unusual, like a heritage variety, or do you want to go for something that's completely insane that you wouldn't normally think about growing that actually has a different function somewhere else, like an amelanche or something, which I would usually put in a garden, either in a hedge or I'd put it in as a kind of specimen tree. They actually make beautiful berries. Or fuchsias. You can eat fuchsia berries.
You can eat fuchsia berries?
No, yeah, they're delicious, actually. They're very nice.
So lots of different ideas. One thing that I have got some neighbours that complain about, a friend of mine, complains about blackberries that she's got growing at the end of her garden. What's the problem with blackberries?
They're very spiky, maybe. Mm-hmm. So there are actually loads of thornless varieties that I would choose above a bog standard bramble. Or, like I said, some of the crosses are fantastic. Loganberries, Tayberries, things like that, which are not as spiky or as kind of aggressive growers, but make loads of really delicious fruit.
Great. We've got a question that came in from Michael, who lives above Saint-Serge and needs a suggestion about shrubs and bushes that he can plant in his garden that will survive under the snow during the winter months. Now, as our theme is fruit today, do you have any suggestions?
There are lots of things actually that will do at altitude, and I would certainly start off by asking your garden centre or from a specialist which ones flower latest, because you want something that's got that isn't going to flower in March and then get frosted. So something that flowers late. And I would also look at some of the either columnar variety, which are the kind of straight up and down ones where the snow just slides straight off them rather than something with broad branches. I would also look at some of the espaliers and things like that that can be grown that are completely flat and also the snow just slides off them. So you can have apricots, apples, cherries and pears all do very well. And in terms of soft fruit, raspberries do really well. Blackcurrants do really well. So I think there's actually loads of choice. And of course, alpine strawberries. Let's not forget them.
Quick question. We've just got time for it. Joe is asking, what's a mini orchard?
So there's lots of talk about mini orchards at the moment. There's two ways of approaching it. One is that you just have one variety or one variety plus a pollination partner, which just means that you get more fruit of each type of thing. So rather than having, you know, 20 apple trees, you have two, or you have two varieties of pears and you have two cherries. So it's kind of this maximisation of your space. The other way to look at it is to grow everything on dwarfing or super dwarfing rootstocks. So the majority of fruit trees are not on their own roots. And this is to help them with disease resistance. It's to help them deal with drought. And it also manages the ultimate size of the tree.
If I would like to give somebody a fruit plant tomorrow, what would you recommend?
Ooh,
because I don't know whether this person might want to do lots of work. I just want something that's fairly standard. What would you think is a lovely gift?
How about a calamondin orange from Schelliger?
I think that's perfect. Actually, it is true. When we ask them if they would like to give us a prize this week, it's pretty much the consideration all the time. It's something that is going to be fairly easy for everyone, that we can put on a balcony or we can put in a garden so that we keep it nice and open. And I think that, Schelliger have provided when they have suggested a calamondin orange tree. That's what we're giving away today. I'll leave the competition open for another 15 minutes. If you can just send us in the name of a fruit, any fruit, you'll go into the draw for that lovely tree from Schelliger Garden Centre. And as a reminder, if you'd like to pick up your own, even if you're not lucky enough to win, well, you can do it on Saturday, Sunday or Monday across this long weekend coming up. They are open all days, and big thanks to them for sponsoring Digger. If you would like to listen to any of this again, if you want to listen to any of these questions being answered, for more tips for previous episodes as well, you can always go onto our website and find this as a podcast at worldradio.ch/digit. Thanks, Hester.
This episode of Dig It was recorded at the WRS Studios in Geneva, Switzerland, and brought to you by Schelliger Garden Centre. Their Glan store is open 7 days a week this spring until June the 6th, including this upcoming Monday, the 24th of May. If you've got gardening questions for our next episode, send them in now. Studio@worldradio.ch.